One of the great things about having a brand new year is this. It gives you an opportunity to take a review of the things that happened last year and put together a plan in order to launch into this new year. Many people on December the 31st would give themselves an opportunity to reflect on the year before, and then they will put in place what's known as a resolution. And a resolution is simply this, says, you know, I'm going to make a promise. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to put on paper the things and the intent and goals and plans that I expect to reach in this upcoming year. Some it is to lose weight. Some is it is to increase their business. Some is it is to work on their relationships. But most people wait until the end of the year before they start thinking about the next year. But in the kingdom of God, our mindset should be totally different, because every single day we have another opportunity to reflect on what happened the day before and put together a new plan for the day ahead. In fact, when Jesus was on the earth, he would go to the Father every single day before the rise of the sun, before most people were even out of the bed. He would get before the Father to find out what was the Father's plan, what was his intent, what was his purpose for the day. And then once Jesus got the download of what it is that God had in store for that day, then he went about executing everything that the Father had said and or had showed him the time of prayer. And that's the purpose of this message, in the fact that God doesn't want you to wait to the end. He doesn't want you to wait and go through 12 months before you realize that you did not accomplish a third of what it is he had planned before the foundation of the world for you and I to accomplish. See, the thing about God is this. God is not schizophrenic. God doesn't say one thing one day and then turn it around and say something another day. God is not a man that he should lie, in accordance to Numbers chapter 23 and 19. God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken it, and will he not make it good? In other words, when God says something about you, when God gives you a plan, when God gives you a purpose, when God gives you a calling, when God gives you instructions, he doesn't change his mind about you, even if you make a decision, hey, you know what, God, thank you, but I don't want to do that right now. God never changes his mind about you. And this is another thing about God. If God says you're blessed, you're blessed. Man cannot curse what God has already blessed. Now, they can try to hinder you. They can try to put obstacles before you, but God has already said, man cannot curse what he has already blessed. Man cannot reverse it. They may not like it. They may not appreciate it, but they cannot reverse it. Have you ever heard the story about the three pigs and the big bad wolf? One day there was three little pigs. One lived in a straw house, one lived in a wood house, and another one lived in the brick house. And then they saw the big wolf coming one day, and they ran in their house. And the one pig who lived in the straw house, he ran in his house, and this is what the wolf said to him. He says, I'm going to huff, I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your little house down. He blew the little pig's house down who lived in a straw hut. So what did he do? He ran to the next house. His brother had a wood house. The wolf said to him, I'm going to huff, I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down. And when he blew the wood house down. So the two little pigs ran to the house where the brother who had a stone house lived at. And the big bad wolf thought he was big, he was bad. He figured, I'd already blown down two houses. What's this little stone house to me? But when he got to that house, glory be to God, he huffed, he puffed, and no matter how much he huffed and puffed, he could not blow that stone house down. And God says this about you and says this about me. He says, for those who hear my word and do it, he says, it will be like those who have built their house upon a rock. And when the storms come and the winds blew and beat upon that house stood. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. But he says, but for those who will hear my word and not do it, he says, they will be like those who have built their house on sand. He says, and when the storms come and when the winds blew and beat upon that house, he says, great was the fall of it. What's the point when the adversary comes and he's trying to huff and he's trying to puff and trying to blow your house down? All you got to do is remember the promise. God is not a man that he should lie. What he said about me, he has already done. If he's already said it, he's already done it. If he's already spoken, he's already made it good. And what the word of the Lord says, I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. I have saved you. I have put in a plan for you. I have brought you out of darkness into my marvelous light. And no matter how many times that the adversary tries to huff and puff and tries to blow your house down, if you stand on the word of the living God, you will see the finished work that God had already said about you. How do you know? Because God said the same thing to Zerubbabel when he had oppositions coming up against him. This was the word of the Lord that he said to Zerubbabel in accordance to Zechariah chapter 4 and 6. He says, Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power. He says, but it's by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He says, nothing, and I mean not even a mighty mountain, will be able to stand in your way. It will become as a level plain before you. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone in the temple in place, the people will shout and say, may God bless it. May God bless it. Or grace, grace. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's army, the Lord of hosts, has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. What is he saying? He says, Zerubbabel, you was the one God called. You was the one God chose. You was the one who will begin it. You will be the one who will finish it. And when people see that you have finished it, they will know that it is I who was the one who sent you. And the word of the Lord says this concerning you and I this morning. He says that when the things that I called and said about you from the foundation of the world, he says, when the people see it, when they see the end result, they will know that I'm the one that sent you, because in the midst of all the tests and trials and tribulation and all the persecution and all the afflictions and people talking about you and trying to plot against you, God says you will still be the one who will finish it. And though they try to come up against you, and though they try to convince you that it's not your time and it's not your season, and God is done with you and he's finished with you and you made too many mistakes, God sent me to let you know that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his Holy Spirit. And if he's already said it to you, he's already done it. In fact, when God said it, he already considered it finished. What God does, he declares the end from the very beginning and then starts you off at the beginning. He says, and now that I've said all that, now start here. I'm telling you the end from the very beginning. Prime example with Gideon. He called Gideon a mighty man of valor. He told Gideon in Judges chapter 6 that he would deliver the children of Israel. And Gideon was like, I'm the smallest of all the, our family is the smallest of all the clan, and I'm the runt of the litter in my household. And God says, don't worry, Gideon, because I'm going to be with you. And because God says, Gideon, I'm going to be with you, Gideon could have wrote a check and said, yep, it's a done deal. But no, Gideon still needed a fleece. And that was what they did back in the day. They used a fleece. But don't you try to do a fleece, because you will get fleeced if you try to do a fleece, because the adversary will make sure that he convinces you to do something that has nothing to do with the will of God. The only reason why you will be doing it is because you received the word of the Lord and you stepped out and did exactly what it is that he told you to do. Another person, Joseph, he had a dream. When he was a young man, he had a dream that his family would bow to him. He didn't know what it was at the time, but he had this dream twice about his family and people bowing to him. But he didn't know what that was going until he sure didn't think that when he ended up in the bottom of a well, when his brothers was trying to plot to kill him, he didn't think that was going to happen when he was brought into Potiphar's house. He definitely didn't think it was going to happen when Potiphar's wife lied on him because he wouldn't sleep with her. And he definitely didn't think it was going to happen when he ended up in prison. But God had already spoken the word. And because he had already spoken the word, God was going to make it good. And when the right time, when the appointed time, when the appointed season happened, and it was time for Joseph to be in the place he needed to be at the time he needed to be in, God was the one who took him from the jailhouse to the penthouse. And he went from being a prisoner to second in command over all of Egypt. Why am I telling you this? Because when God speaks it, it's already finished as far as he's concerned. Another one is Abraham. Abram started off, Abram was a moon worshiper. And when Abram first started off, God told him, Abram, leave your family, leave your kindred. He says, go to a land I'm going to show you. Now, he didn't even tell him what the land was where the land was going to be. Go to a land where I'm going to show you. And he says, and when you go, you go. He says, and don't take nobody with you. He says, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abram went, but Abram took his nephew Lot with him, even though God told him, don't take anybody with you. So Abram goes along, and then time goes on, and he doesn't see anything happening, but he's still trying to stand on the word of God. Then one day his wife, Sarah, comes to him and said, maybe God needs us to help him out. Have you ever had somebody try to give you a suggestion? Maybe you need to help God out. God didn't say anything about what Sarah was about to say, but she came up with this plan. Hey, God might be wants you to get with Hagar. And Hagar, I'll give you one of my handmaids and you can go in and have sex with her. And then we can have that child that God said that we was going to have. But God did not say that. God had told Abram that Sarai was going to be the one who was going to produce the promised child. Well, Abram yielded to his wife, Sarah, and he went into Hagar, and guess what? She got pregnant, but she had a child named Ishmael. And still to this day, we're still dealing with the consequences of that child that came forth named Ishmael. Ishmael is a child of the flesh, but Isaac was the child of the promise. Do you want what you can create by your own flesh, or do you want what God has created because of the promise? I don't know about you, but in 2026, I'm going for the promise, not something I can come up with my flesh. Because guess what? If you get it, if you can get it through your flesh, guess who's going to be responsible for keeping it afloat? You are, because God was never the one who told you to do it. But at the right time and at the appointed season, Sarah and Abraham had a child, the child Isaac. And through the lineage of Isaac, we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God knew the appointed time. He knew the appointed season. He knew the method. He already knew what was going on with Abram. He already knew that Sarah's womb was dead. But guess what? Abraham, this was accounted to him as righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. In fact, he was so fully persuaded after he recovered from that situation with Hagar and the child Ishmael, that he was so fully persuaded that he was fully convinced that the one who promised was well able to do it. Why am I saying this? Because in this year, 2026, you will have a lot of opportunities to see things that in the natural looks impossible. In the natural, it looks like it's not going the way that the word said it was going to go. In the natural, it won't feel that good. In the natural, you might have opportunities where you got to overcome anxiety. You have to have opportunities where you have to speak to the spirit of fear and say, spirit of fear, you bow your knee to the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease, you bow your knee to the name of Jesus. Poverty and lack, you bow your knee to the name of Jesus. What are you doing? You're taking the word of the Lord and using it as a weapon. Did you know in the whole armor of God, there's only one weapon that's used for offense? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What's the sword of the Spirit? the word in your mouth, your tongue, when you let your tongue go out. If you read about Jesus, when it talks about how he's going to conquer the adversary and the Antichrist and all those when he come back, it says as he's on the horse, the word will be coming out of his mouth and it will be like a sword. And what will that sword do? That sword will cut in pieces the adversary that stands before him. I'm telling you this today, that the word of the Lord for you is this. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from poverty and lack. You've been redeemed from spiritual death. You've been redeemed from sickness and disease. You have been redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed simply means you've been bought back. Jesus paid the price. He brought about your redemption. He brought about your deliverance through his shed blood. He rescued you from loss. He ransomed you back. He paid the price for you. Now he's saying to you and I have redeemed you. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He goes on and says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, and the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He also says that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. He cleansed us. He cleansed our conscience from dead works, that we may be able to serve the living God. Glory be to God. You have been redeemed. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, you received the remission of sins. He didn't cover your sins. He washed away your sins. He washed them away. There's remission of sin. Remission means there's freedom from sin. He pardoned you from sin. He delivered you. He brought about forgiveness. And what is your responsibility? We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In this new year, we've taken off the old. We're putting on the new. We're taking off that old nature. We've spent so many years and so much time talking about the old. You know, I hear people say this all the time, man, those good old days, man. I remember those good old days. And, you know, and I like it into like somebody's highlight reel. The good old days are the moments and the spots where they had this good thing happen and got that good happen. But I guarantee if you went back and watched the full tape, you would find out with those good old days, there was a whole lot of not so good days and darn right crazy days and days that you never wish would have ever happened in your life. But if you only consider your life based off of a highlight reel, then you will not mature and grow in the things of God. How do you know that? Because the word of the Lord said that about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says this in Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 5. It says this: that is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." When Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Did you hear that part? Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who believe him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. He says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teachers others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the foundational importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need a further instruction about baptism and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding, for it is impossible. Listen to that. It is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. They themselves are nailing him again to the cross and holding him to a public shame. God has already made salvation available to you. God has already redeemed you from the curse of the law. God already has a great plan for your life. God has already done all these things, and he's not a man that he's going to change his mind about you. He's not a man that he says, I do it today. No, you ain't been so good. I changed my mind. You can't have it tomorrow. No, God says, I have already made it available for you to receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through your faith in Jesus Christ and believe in what it is that he did for you on the tree. He says, now awaken out of your sleep and waken out of your slumber. He says, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's calling you and I to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4:21, he says it this way. If indeed you have heard of him, talking about Jesus, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness, holiness. He goes on to say in Colossians chapter 3, he says it this way, verse 8, now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Now, he told you to take these things off, but I need you to put this on. He says, put these things on. Instead, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, above all those things, what did he tell us to do? Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing it with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, say that with me, and whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now think about that. whatever you do in word and deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you cuss somebody out? In the name of Jesus, mother blankety blankety blank. How can you steal? How can you kill? How can you destroy? How can you deceive? How can you lie? How can you use filthy language if all that you're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what did he say to this? He says, in order to be able to operate in the new, in order for you to put on the new, in order for you to operate totally different in 2026 than you did in 2025, he says, you're going to have to do this thing. And according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Remember, Jesus learned obedience through the things that he had suffered. But he had to have this mind in him that he made himself of no reputation. He was a servant. He was humble. And he was obedient even to the point of death. And as a result of what it is that Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who humbled himself to do all these things, when he fulfilled God's plan, when he fulfilled God's will, when he fulfilled God's purpose, it says this, therefore, because Jesus was willing to have this mind in him, therefore, because Jesus was willing to make himself of no reputation, to make himself a servant, therefore, because he was willing to be humble and obedient, God was the one who highly exalted him and given him a name or authority, which is above every authority or name, that at the authority or name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things under the earth and things in earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, Jesus fulfilled the purpose, the plans, the instructions, the intent, the calling that God had for his life from the foundation of the world. And he did it because he had this mind within him. I come to do the will of the one who sent me. The one who sent me said it is already finished. He spoke it, it was already done. And Jesus woke up every morning, got before the Father to find out what was his plan and his purpose for the day. And then he carried it out. And even though it didn't always look like it, though it didn't always sound like it. In fact, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to God three times. Hey, if there's any way that you can get them redeemed, get them restored, get them reconciled back into yourself. If there's any other way to do this, let it be. He says, but nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Even though at that point it was hard on his flesh, Jesus had already settled it in his heart, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's the question you have to ask yourself. And that's where you and I have to settle it at the very beginning of this year. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. And Father, if there's any area where I'm off, I'm asking you to show me right now. If there's anything that I'm doing that I need to stop doing, show me. If there's anything I'm not doing that you need me to start doing, I'm asking you to show me right now. And Father, if there's anything that I've been doing but I need to do more of, I'm asking you to reveal that to me right now. We're starting the new year off, putting off the old, putting on the new, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to walk out and finish the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, for some people, it starts by making a decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Some people, you may have said you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, but you already realize you're like that first group who ought to be teachers by now, but you need somebody to teach you again because you didn't mature in the things of God. Or you might be a part of that group that says, you know what? I began to mature in the things of God, but I want to make today day one. God says that's available to you. It's as simple as a child can do it. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this. It says, the word of God is near you, in your heart, is in your mouth, is the word of faith which we preach. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Make this confession with me. Say it out of your mouth from your heart. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I put off the old and I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this day forward, I will walk and talk according to the word of God. And whatever I say and do, in word or deed, I will do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for it. I believe I receive it this day in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you pray that prayer or made that confession with us, I want to thank you, welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into a right relationship, welcome you into right standing. What do you got to do now? You got to get into a word-based church that teaches about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know the faith life is such a place, and we invite you to join us here every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will share another word, a powerful word that will ultimately change your lives forever. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Ignite Nation and Faith Life Nation, we want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.